When you call a locational learning center, you commonly believe that it's a center where education is presented, with the obvious goal being to improve the recipients of that education. These learning centers can often be another name for a church, a synagogue, or even a mosque. My next guest has revealed in great detail how what's been whispered about by many is indeed true, how mosques, in many cases, are merely fronts which are in fact working to spread the ideas and goals of radical Islam here in America. Joining us to explain what this process contains and what it resulted in regarding the Boston Marathon bombing is the president of Americans for Peace and Tolerance, Dr. Charles Jacobs. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Wonderful to have you here, and always enjoy speaking to someone who's not afraid to present the truth. Peaceandtolerance.org on the web for the doctor's organization's website. And what you wrote about recently over at Breitbart hinges on, it's called the Islamic Society of Boston. What do they have possession of, and what are they doing with those property possessions?
Well, the Islamic Society of Boston started out with a small mosque in Cambridge, situated strategically between Harvard and MIT. And it was a place that was founded by people who were connected to the Muslim Brotherhood. In fact, the founder of the mosque, a man by the name of Alamudi, is now serving a federal prison term of over 20 years because he is an Al-Qaeda operative and a fundraiser. That mosque had an extension project over in downtown Boston several years ago, which cost about $16 million, and they built the largest mosque in New England on the eastern seaboard, larger than anything, even the ones in Manhattan, which are pretty large. And that mosque was, as I say, funded mostly by the Saudis. And both of these mosques are run by something called the Muslim American Society, which federal authorities label as the overt arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. These mosques are extraordinarily well-populated and serve the Boston Muslim community. And apart from inviting preachers who speak hateful messages about Jews, Christians, women, gays, etc., we've discovered that the mosques have a curriculum that train their youth in jihadist ideology. And the mosque in Cambridge is about six blocks from the house where the marathon bombers lived, and they went there to pray as well. So it could well be that these bombers, we don't know for sure, participated in this training program. We're not sure about that, but we do know that these two mosques spawned or are connected with 12 people who are either in jail, on the run from federal authorities, awaiting trial, or killed for their jihadist activities. And the irony is that President Obama, in his recent program to combat what he calls violent extremism, selected Boston as one of the three model cities where this was working out. Well, it's not working out so well.
Yeah, it's working out about as good as things are working out in Yemen at this point in time. And
that's exactly right.
When you look at the teachings at these mosques owned by and operated by the Islamic Society of Boston, and when you compare the teachings with what Dzhokhar Tsarnaev etched on the inside of that boat that he was hiding in, where police finally found him, do you see any similarities, connections with what he wrote and what these mosques are teaching?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you could take what he wrote. The note on the boat was a direct expression of the fundamentalist beliefs that are taught by... let me read you a selection of what is in the curriculum at these mosques.
Sure.
Here we go. Syed Qutb would be like the Marx or Lenin of the Islamist movement, or Trotsky. And here's a quote. He says, "All Jewish and Christian societies today are ignorant societies. Islam cannot accept any mixing with this ignorance. One should reject all other laws other than Islamic laws. The abolition of man-made laws cannot be achieved only through preaching. It must employ jihad. So whether or not the brothers listened to that particular teaching, which is being taught by people who run those mosques or not, his acts were certainly in direct line with those teachings. Now, the irony is, we believe that the Muslim Brotherhood right now in America is not wanting people to blow buildings up, not wanting people. I think they were upset even by the Marathon bombing, because their teachings to their youth is, we're going to have a jihad in America. It's a stealth jihad. We're going to take Western society from within, and we're going to do it mostly through preaching and infiltrating their elite society by getting their newspapers to think and to portray us as moderates. And we're going to have a jihad, but just not yet. We don't need the violent part yet. But the problem is that when you teach that to teenagers, teenagers are not a population that listens to anything with a not yet. I mean, whether it be sex, drugs, rock and roll, jihad. True. So the Muslim Brotherhood, will always be in this tricky position of telling people that the right thing to do is jihad at the right time. It's not quite the right time. We're doing so well in convincing these liberal elites that everything is just fine. Islam is the religion of peace. They should be dialoguing with us. Let's not upset them with the bombing at the Marathon, probably. They don't have real control, because what they're doing is they're planting a bomb in the hearts of these youth.
And add to that the fact that major countries around the world are negotiating with radical Islamists in Iran to hand them the keys to nuclear capability. So all the more call for patience.
Yes. I mean, look, we're about to enter the biggest mistake that civilization may have ever made by creating, as the Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, says, a pathway. We're paving the road for the Persian Islamists in jihadists in Iran to have nuclear power, when already without nuclear power they're wreaking havoc in the region. Just imagine what the nuclear bomb will do to their reach and their stretch and their power. I mean, this is the biggest mistake that anyone has ever made, unless, of course, it's not a mistake.
Talking with Dr. Charles Jacobs from the he's the president of Americans for Peace and Tolerance, peaceandtolerance.org on the web, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Isn't the major problem being that, well, first and foremost, we have an administration in Washington who refuses to name the enemy? You mentioned the terminology for the violence seminar. And you have, whenever this topic is approached, as we're doing here, both you and I are going to get emails and postings on the various forums and social media that we are both Islamophobes. If that's going to always be the reaction when these facts are pointed out, why wouldn't the enemy believe they can win?
Well, you're right. I mean, look, the Western elites, not only in Europe but now also in America, have failed us, and they don't want to look reality in the face. And the reality is that Islamism, like communism before it, like Nazi fascism before it, is a worldwide ideology that intends to take power across the globe through violent means. And in fact, more powerfully than the secular movements, totalitarian movements of Nazism and communism, they, the Islamists, have God, they think, on their side, and are much more willing to risk their lives, to give their lives, to blow themselves up for Allah. This is an enormously problematic situation, and the Western elites don't want to have the war now, and they want to believe that they can talk these people out of it, they can buy them off with good economic circumstances, who knows how. they can assuage them. They think that maybe these people really don't believe in what they say. They're just trying to threaten us. The West is ruled by a gaggle of Chamberlains, and what we need is Churchills, and there are darn few of them around. I mean, I think that's why Obama really despises Bibi Netanyahu.
Oh, no doubt.
Here you have, on one hand, you know, a community organizer, and on the other hand, you have a commando. I mean, if you had a party some Friday night and you had people around, you would never put the commando next to have a drink with the community organizer. You'd know that that would be oil and water, and that's what we have.
That's the unfortunate truth, but fortunately we have organizations like Americans for Peace and Tolerance who are not afraid to give you the facts so that you can demand action and accuracy and a response to a threat that has been allowed to continue to grow and to grow and to grow. And we talk about it so often here on the show, not just here this morning, that a lack of offense, you just wind up losing the game. And this is a serious game that cannot be lost. Learn more about the work of Americans for Peace and Tolerance at peaceandtolerance.org. We've been joined by the president, Dr. Charles Jacobs. Doctor, thanks so much for fearlessly doing the work that you do. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you for having me.